Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time for some high heat with BT on 101 ESPN. Inside and High.
By Scott Lee Heating Company, your preferred Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor. Visit ScottLeeHeating.com.
There's no excuse for Thompson throwing at the head of Wright.
Time for some high heat with our guy Brad Thompson, who joins us from the road. Of course, you can watch him tonight alongside Chip Carey. Bally Sports Midwest as the Cardinals continue their series against the Oakland, for now, Athletics. Carey Davis, Jamie Rivers, Anthony Stalter. I'm just spitting facts.
Sacramento.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did they change your name?
No, I don't think so.
Just keep the A's?
Probably.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
BT, how are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are we doing?
Well, certainly sad news for Cardinals fans with Whitey Herzog, the passing of the legendary Cardinals manager. He passed away earlier today at 92. And I know that, BT, just in talking to you as friends over the years, that Whitey Herzog certainly carved a place in your heart. When you think of Whitey Herzog, what's the top thing that pops in your mind?
You know, and, for me, there's a bunch when it comes to Whitey. I just had the great fortune over the last few years being, you know, a Cardinal alumni and hanging out with Whitey at fantasy camps and various events. I mean, the guy is just, you gravitate towards him. But one of the things that stands out to me the most about Whitey, it isn't even necessarily about him. It's about how his teammates that play for him reacted towards him. I mean, he was a father figure to these guys. And I was talking to Rick Horton about him just a couple of days ago, just talked about how you would learn life lessons from Whitey, and how oftentimes when you'd be talking to him, it wouldn't even be about baseball. He would let other people do some of the baseball stuff, and he'd just talk to you about life. And it is every one of the guys that I ever talked to that had the opportunity to play for Whitey just sings his praises of the human being that he is, obviously the brilliant baseball mind that he had. And, sad day, man. Sad day, I feel, for all of Cardinal Nation. Obviously, anybody that had the opportunity to play for him, his family, he was married for over 70 years to his wife, Mary Lou. So feel for the family, but what a wonderful baseball life. And you guys know this, Whitey's going to be remembered forever. I mean, he changed the baseball, and people want to see Whitey ball, that style of baseball, still now to this day, decades later. So Whitey is a man that will never be forgotten in the game of baseball.
So, BT, that's exactly where I want to go. And I don't know if in your conversations with Whitey you ever got a chance to ask him, or if maybe talking to some of the guys who played for him and they discussed it. But, you know, what was the thought process for Whitey Herzog? Why did that style of baseball become Whitey ball? Why did that happen? That's always been something I wanted to ask him.
Yeah, so the thought process was behind it that what they were doing wasn't working. So when he came over in 90, Busch Stadium was big. They're playing on turf, and they had plenty of guys that could hit for average, but they weren't hitting home runs because the ballpark was so big, and they would have to string together tons of hits to get anything going. So as GM, I mean, he had like a wholesale makeover of a team. I thought he like brought in like 21 new players his first year, and he brought in speed, and he brought in guys that played great defense and athletic, and guys that would steal bags, that would hit the ball on the ground and would run, and it worked, right? He played, he built a team to what the ballpark was conducive for, and obviously it worked. I mean, this is a team that stole a ton of bags. Everybody remembers the team in 85 that ended up stealing, what was it, 314 bags with Vince Coleman ripping about 110 of those things. But, like, he built a team for what was working, right? You can have all these sluggers if you want to, but if it's not working in your ballpark, then you had to build something else. And he had that unique opportunity to do it as a GM and then a dual role, a role as a GM and a manager, and built like what his vision was. We don't have that opportunity anymore where a manager holds that role of GM as well. And it worked out perfectly. And it was such an entertaining style of baseball. And guess with the new rules in baseball, that's what they're trying to bring back. They're trying to bring back speed, athleticism, excitement, all those things that Whitey saw in the 80s.
BT, I grew up here a Cardinals fan. 80s Cardinal baseball, to me, is the best version of Cardinals baseball ever. You may disagree with that. But I want to know, you've been around this organization for 20-plus years, or close to 20 years. Have you gotten that feeling about the 80s Cardinals and Whitey Ball and how much fans just adored that brand of baseball?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And there's plenty of talk of it now. When you look at guys that are burners, when you look at a guy like Victor Scott II, Mason Wynn can run, Jordan Walker can run. People are echoing those things. They would love to see more of that Whitey Ball style of baseball. Now, baseball not as conducive to that. It's more of a three true outcome sport. Love it or hate it, that's kind of the way baseball has been going. But I think that we're trending back in that direction. But yes, like Kerry, I totally agree with you. People that were watching Cardinal baseball in that era and were aware of it and following the team, that is their favorite style. Not to say they didn't love the teams with the MV3, with Jimmy and Albert and Scott Rowland. And there are great memories throughout the years. But like stylistically, that was a fun time to be a Cardinal fan. You could go to three World Series and win one with Whitey Herzog. I mean, pretty impressive run.
Talking with Brad Thompson, former World Series champion, former Cardinals pitcher, our former teammate here in the Fast Lane. BT, a lot made in the offseason for the Cardinals about going and getting pitching, going to get those innings eaters. And the Cardinals' number one signing was Sonny Gray. And I think people were, I don't want to say apprehensive, because the numbers supported the decision, but everybody wanted the bigger, shinier toy. Here I am, though, watching him just absolutely shove in his first two starts. I mean, you have to be impressed at what he's done.
He's been incredible. What impressed me the most, the first start that he had, Jamie, was he didn't miss. Like, it was his first outing in a big league game after, you know, being on the IL. And he's putting the ball wherever he wants to. And Chip and I were talking in between innings. I think it was after like the fourth inning. And I lean over yesterday. I go, it must be fun to catch him, where you just put a target somewhere and he just hits it. And you really don't have to work quite as hard back there behind the plate because he's putting the ball where he wants to. That's what this guy is. And Rick Horton made the point to me as we were on the bus on the way back, and he does the radio broadcast. He goes, hey, how many times during the broadcast did you mention Sonny Gray's velocity? I'm like, I don't recall mentioning at all. He's like, yeah, exactly. Because all he does, he puts the ball where he wants to, and he knows how to freaking pitch. We get caught up in, look at that one. That was 98. Yeah, he spiked it in front of the plate, but it was 98. That was really cool. But yeah, this guy can pitch. And the way that he goes about it, his intensity is infectious. Like, I really think that he's obviously great for the ball club on the field, days he's pitching, but I think he's great for this ball club just in general, the way that he goes about it.
So, BT, I made a loose comparison not too long ago after watching Sonny Gray pitch his first game and then having gone back and watched all the spring training footage and all that stuff. I said, Sonny Gray kind of reminds me of Ryan O'Reilly when he first got to the Blues. Is that a fair comparison?
So a guy that comes in and he is obviously a leader, does things, kind of does things his own way, marches to the beat of his own drum, but people follow. Is that kind of the way that you're going with him?
Yeah, it forces other guys to bring more detail to their game, communicate more with teammates, like get on board the Sonny Gray train type thing.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair with him. I think that's fair with Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson as well. I think that all of these guys, and that was part of bringing in more veterans, is showing others the way to go about it. We've talked plenty about losing Adam Wainwright, his veteran presence, losing Yadier Molina, his veteran presence. think you needed more of that. And I think that is a fair comparison with Sonny Gray. You're not going to be able to do everything that he does. You're not going to be able to spin it like he does and maybe have that same pinpoint accuracy, but you sure as heck can pick some things up from him and watch the way that he goes about it, want to emulate some of those things, and make yourself a better pitcher because of it. So, no, I think that that's a very fair comparison.
So Jamie compared Sonny to Ryan O'Reilly, as he just said, and our good friend Anthony compared Tink Hintz to Pedro Martinez. So I just wanted to give you that heads up. So whenever Tink does get called up, he's a little Pedro here.
Yeah.
That's what we call him because our LP. Good friend Anthony, Lil P. Anthony, that's what he calls him.
This team is going to be outstanding.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm digging the comp. Now, I've got to ask, was the comp on stature and big arm? Where were we putting it?
Oh, no, it's just stuff. Live, filthy stuff, BT.
Okay.
You get it.
Anthony, you've had an eye for sports forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
thanks.
You have... You've always been able to find that diamond in the rough, that
no
Isaiah Likely on a Thursday.
Like, right.
Always,
in Tampa.
Yeah, you've always been able to see something. So, look, I am with you. I would love that. I hope that somebody teaches him a devastating changeup and I hope that his fingers grow about 6 inches like Pedro's did. It's like shaking a tennis racket with him. But the stuff is there. Like, there's like real excitement certainly around Tank Hansen. Look, you may have set the bar high, but I'm digging it, Anthony.
Well, listen, BT, I mean, come on. If you see something you like an Isaiah Likely, even though Mark Andrews is starting that night, you figure he's going to get hurt, so why not play him?
That's a hell of a call, Anthony.
You can hit it big on your scouting.
There you go.
BT, before we let you go, FedEx Brian chimed in, and this is probably the most important question overall. Did BT find the possum out there? Because we did... Now, remember, we did trade the 618 at one point last year for a possum. We did not receive the possum, so the 618 stayed right here in St. Louis. So do we know if the possum's still right there in the radio booth or the TV booth?
Yeah, Peter's his name. It's Peter the Possum.
Peter the Possum. Nice.
And so here's the thing with Peter. They have Peter's still there. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
What they did though was they made it way more difficult for Peter to pop out during a broadcast. He's scared the daylights out of some broadcaster. So I think that they've blocked off certain areas where he would pop out, and then they put what just appears to be like a nicer looking backdrop. I'm not fooled though. Peter's back there. He's coming out. They put new floors in because I think Peter was doing his business in there.
Sure.
Easily a floor he could easily wipe things up now.
Yeah.
But I will say the A's overall, it sucks. It's a bad situation, right, for their fans and awful situation for Oakland. They do as good of a job as they possibly can. All the stuff was great. Everything, that the experience was really good. And then the experience last night of seeing, you know, my partner Chip Carey do a broadcast with his son two booths over doing his fourth ever big league broadcast. It was a pretty special night last night at the Coliseum.
I'm sure it was. Absolutely. Well, hey, BT, we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, especially, you know, today. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great call tonight as Lance Lynn takes on the A's in game two of the series.
Fellas, I look forward to it as always. Miss you guys.
Same to
you,
my man.
Brother.
Same to you. We'll see ya.
See you guys.